Welcome to Strategic Renewal. I'm Doreen Milano, and today we're diving into the shifts and strategies that help leaders reinvent themselves and their businesses. This is Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. Welcome to Strategic Renewal. I'm Doreen Milano, and this is the place where I get to explore how true business growth begins with personal renewal, because success is not static. It happens all the time. It shifts, it stretches, it demands more of you as a leader. And when I want my business to evolve, I have to be willing to evolve with it. Today, I'm joined by Kevin T. Robertson. This conversation is for every business owner who has built something meaningful, but knows that growth requires more than strategy alone. It requires emotional discipline, self-awareness, and the ability to lead people with the middle of pressure, change, and uncertainty. So those are things that we have to move through, right? So Kevin, I'm really glad that you're here. And I want to open this episode by really exploring how emotional intelligence keeps renewal from becoming temporary. This is where strategy becomes sustainable because I learn how to lead myself before I lead everything else. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
So, Kevin, let's say I'm trying to renew my business. Why does emotional intelligence matter as much as strategy?
That's a great question. And thanks so much for having me, Doreen. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm really happy that you're here too.
Absolutely. So let's dive into emotional intelligence. It's, you know, what I always tell people, if you took away all my skills, and I've been fortunate to have a lot of them, from fine art painter to acting to modeling to music production to real estate investing to professional speaking, coaching, consulting, I do a whole lot, right? And I've worked hard at it. But if you stripped away all of my skills and my talents and you left me with one, and that is the ability to read people. And that is when you have a high level of emotional intelligence, you understand people's strengths, limitations, characteristics, tendencies, so people become predictable. So when you can read people, it depends on the environment. Mm-hmm. It helps you understand how people move in certain areas, whether or not that's your personal life or professional life. So you're right, Doreen, strategy doesn't change. I've been studying the top 3% of the most successful people in the history of our world of business since the beginning of time. You could go back to the BC days, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me. And strategy typically never changes. Strategy is like science. It's fact. It's the thing that's going to, it's the framework, right? The framework never changes. It's the foundation of everything.
Right.
But your emotions go all over the place. And you talked about it in your intro, self-discipline and emotional control. Most people lack the self-discipline and emotional control to choose the right level of emotion and pair that with the strategy so that they can move forward to accomplish the task at hand. That's what people are missing. We have all these wonderful AI tools. We have tons and millions of strategies that you can choose from. Everyone has a different approach, but how are you managing your emotions, and do you know how to read people? And people are really struggling with that right now.
Oh, absolutely there. But the other side of this, and this is my perspective, is that you can have the greatest strategies in the world, but when somebody lacks the emotional discipline, they take the strategy, they turn it into a tactic, they don't look at it as a long-term, duplicatable, repeatable process.
Yep.
And when they turn it into a tactic, it will, 9 times out of 10, it's gonna fail.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. It's gonna implode and explode.
And explode.
At the same time.
And then they think strategy doesn't work, but strategy does work.
Yeah.
But you have to do it the right way.
Yeah.
Right? So what happens when I have a vision and ambition, but I don't have the emotional discipline to lead consistently?
That's another good one. So vision and mission is very critical. Less than 5 to 10% of employees understand what the company vision and mission statement is.
Stop. Stop right there. Do you guys understand what he's saying? That what percentage?
Less than around 5 to 10% of employees.
That
actually
if you
understand.
Have 10 employees,
yep,
right? Only 5% of that 10 employees actually understand what you're up to.
Yep.
That's disastrous for a small business.
Absolutely. Vision and mission is tied into daily, weekly, monthly, yearly activity. And if you don't come in, hit the ground running, that means that you don't understand what's going on. Let's take the grassroots customer service level. Those employees put the company on their back, but they're also struggling with the 80-20 rule. 20% of the staff is carrying 80% of the workload. Then the managerial supervisory level, 75.6% of them micromanage. You're supposed to be hiring your team to do the job, yet they're lacking the people skills, which is the emotional intelligence piece,
yep,
and they're micromanaging. Then the C-suite exec level.
Okay, so stop there.
Okay.
When you have an employee that is a manager that is micromanaging, what is that showing and telling the employee base?
Number one, I don't trust you. Number two, that you do not trust your process of delegation, right? Having the right man or woman in the right place at the right time with the right skill, doing the right thing that's gonna get us the right result. I don't trust you, so I'm gonna step in and do it myself. This is destroying the fabric of our corporate workforce environment. And this is why we have the struggle that we do.
And every small business. When we look at small business today, their number one problem is not their output as much as it's the employee base,
yep,
that is creating the output.
Yep, that's what we're really struggling with. And then that C-suite executive level, their listening skills are right around 43.9%. They're not listening. They're focused on the number crunching. And by the way, Doreen, no one on all three of these levels is communicating effectively, which has a drastic impact on your vision and mission statement. So if we're not all fighting for the same cause, if we're not marching to the same drummer, singing the same song, but you'd be surprised, and Doreen, this is why I love your expertise. How many companies do you go into and stick your head down a rabbit hole? They're profitable, but they're going backwards in every other category.
I would say 90%.
Almost all of them, right? Now, why is that? So it's because we focus on profit more than we focus on the emotional intelligence piece and human connection.
And when people work with me, what they get is a totally different perspective, because we start, I don't care how long your business has been in existence, but we're gonna start with the core values for the business, what the company culture is, how that company culture gets disseminated to the employee base, mm-hmm, how it gets disseminated to the client base, right? And then how all four of those things have got to work together for the delivery of the marketing. Because if we're marketing something other than who we are, nobody's going to be happy, right?
Yep.
And that's really what we're talking about, is having a consistent emotional intelligence framework,
yep,
that the business can work within, correct?
Correct. And that vision and mission statement is our guiding light. And if that's out of whack, or no one understands it, or no one supports it, or we don't have the right type of training and leadership development, then we have a fractured workforce culture. And that's where we are post-pandemic. That's why I love talking about this subject, because it's a mess out here.
Okay, so what are the key indicators that my emotions are driving the leadership? Not necessarily in a good way.
Yeah, well, okay. So let me break this down. I call it KTR's mechanics of communication.
Okay.
So you have gender communication.
Right.
Men and women, we listen. We feel, we vibe differently.
Absolutely.
A lot of times men don't understand women and women don't understand men. Again, they don't know how to predict what a person's behavior is going to be, because we don't know how people are wired on the inside. We're doing too much guessing, Doreen, instead of really knowing. I vibe with you the first time we talked on the phone. We had a couple of Zooms. We talked on the phone some more, and boom, here I am. I understand who you are. You extended courtesy and professional respect to me, and I did to you, and it just works because you understand the same thing I do. Building that relationship equity, which I'm sure we're going to talk about before I get out of here.
Probably.
Now, the second thing is not only gender communication, let's talk about generational communication.
Oh, yeah.
What generation are you from? Is it Y? Is it X? Is it a baby boomer? Excuse me. We all have to understand that the generation gaps that we have a massive amount of misunderstandings. Like, if you want to connect people immediately, especially from even from different cultures, start talking about food or start talking about music. And you immediately find a song that both of us like that we can sing, and then boom, that's where you get a bond.
And ask more questions and have open ears.
Correct. Correct. And me asking.
No judgment.
Right. No judgment zone. That's why I wanted to come here, right? So it's really about understanding how to fill those gaps in and get that connectivity. So you have a gender communication, generational communication, you have proximity of communication. That's the distance between you and I right now, respectful distance instead of invading someone's private space. And you also have, you know, the way we connect through tone of voice and things of that nature. So we have all these mechanics. You don't have to be good or great at communication. It just needs to be effective. So ask yourself, if you want to have a high level of emotional intelligence, are you being understood? And here's how you can tell if you're being understood or if your ego, that's the thing that kills emotional intelligence the most. How do I know my ego is out of control? How do I know my emotions are out of control? There's no self-discipline. I'm not grounded. Right. How do I know that? It's because when I'm sending out a message to Doreen, she's now interpreting that message. She's the receiver. If you don't get the answer or tonality of a voice that you thought you were supposed to hear, it's because you didn't send the message out the right way. So the key is, do you know how to send the message out? And most people are horrible at communication. They think they do, but that's the reason why they come off rude and the other person, and now you have a bunch of friction, and that's why we have a problem.
Absolutely. I can't agree more. So what I'm already hearing is that renewal is not just about changing what I do, it's about changing how I respond, how I communicate, and how I carry that communication responsibly.
And not trying to be right all the time, Doreen. You're absolutely right. We all, watch this. A person who is emotionally out of control has an uncontrollable desire to be right all the time. And that is why we argue. We don't respect each other's opinion. It's okay for us to have difference of opinion.
And we're going to stop right there for a second. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we'll be back really quickly.
We'll be right back with more insights on renewing your focus, your energy, and your path forward. This is Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. And we are back. I'm Doreen Milano, and you're watching Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. Let's continue exploring what it means to embrace change and grow with purpose.
Welcome back to Strategic Renewal, and stay connected to the show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish on the move. That's great. Catch a podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. And I'm back here with Kevin T. Robertson. And now I want to move into one of the most overlooked assets in business. Trust. Consistency. And credibility. That's what you build over time with people. So as you watch this part of the conversation, I want you to ask yourself, am I building real trust in my business, or am I only managing transactions? I want to really focus on that. So, Kevin, what does relationship equity really mean in the context of leadership and business growth?
Relationship equity is about making positive deposits through effective communication and understanding human capital. You are valuable to me. When I look at our relationship, I look at it like I'm making an investment in real estate.
Just like a bank account.
Just like a bank account, just like a savings account. I am drawing interest off of my money over time. What does the stock market love, or what do we love on any investment? We love compounded interest.
Absolutely.
What I want the viewers to think about for a second, when you first shake someone's hand, you say, "Hey, Doreen, nice to meet you." And I shake your hand, you shake mine. From the moment our hands touch, from the moment that we start connecting, what am I doing to be able to get a return on that investment one day? So I call it an investment of time, energy, money, resources. It's a lot of things that go into making an investment in each other.
Absolutely.
And when you really need it, like they say, we need a rainy day fund, right? Well, it's not if it's going to rain, it's just the point of when it's going to rain, right?
That's right.
So when it rains.
And then how much is going to rain?
How much? Exactly. When it rains, are you going to have that relationship to rely on? Do you have enough equity in that relationship to withdraw? You cannot take. And let's go back to something else that you said. Everything feels, because of AI, because of robotics, because of machine learning, because of ChatGPT and all these other wonderful AI tools that we have, and I love them. But the marketplace feels very transactional and mechanical. And emotional intelligence will prevent that from happening. Because if your organization is feeling like that, it means you don't understand. You don't have enough human capital built up. You don't have enough relationship equity to withdraw those deposits when you need your team to perform.
Essentially, what you're saying, Kevin, is there's not enough trust built up within the business itself to be able to handle that emotional deficit that's going to show up. And it does show up.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's my response to that, Doreen. How the hell am I going to serve you at the highest level possible if I don't trust you? How am I going to perform at the highest level possible?
You can't.
I don't care. And many people on your team already have a high level of skill, but they won't give you their all because they don't trust the fact that you have their back and you support them in the way they need to be supported, because you don't understand who they are. You know why? Because you're not asking the right questions. You're not listening the right way. You're not bonding with them the right way. You don't care that they are a woman. They're not being heard. You don't care that they are a man that has a level of skill. It's all screwed up, and we gotta get back in alignment.
So one of the things that I used to do, and I don't do this as much anymore, I don't do corporate turnarounds anymore, but when I was going in to do a corporate turnaround, the first thing I did is I interviewed every single employee. And I interviewed them not by just what do? What do you love to do? What's your goal? What are your personal goals? What do you really want to develop about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking deeper questions when we go through that process. And there was one company I worked with where there were about 12 employees. I had this conversation with everybody. We had a couple of really difficult employees. I still had the conversation with them and found that they were difficult, not because of who they are or that was their main personality, but they were difficult because they were put in a position where they were not working to their strengths. They were always in a process of having to learn all over again, having to really push through. And over time, that creates internal conflict.
Yep.
So when we are, as business owners, throwing people into a position, are we paying enough attention to what that position is going to demand of the individual and whether or not that's in alignment with who they are?
Mm-hmm.
So when these kinds of things happen, what is your response? How do you fix that when you're in a business?
Well, that's a great statement you just said. And the first thing that popped into my mind while you were saying that was we're too busy fighting friction. We're too busy fighting gender. Mm-hmm. We're too busy fighting misunderstandings because we have low levels of communication, no communication, block communication, or flat out none at all. And we're not elevating. No. See what emotions are about. It's about controlled emotional elevation. So if morale is very low, like it is in a lot of companies, right?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
But the morale is low because, excuse me, I don't trust you because you don't know me. I'm not being heard. I'm not being respected. Listen, you could pick your poison.
You're not being valued.
You're not being valued.
And
that's
that is the
one.
bigger issue.
Absolutely. That trumps all of them. See, if I don't feel the value, like the value you made me feel by inviting me as a guest on your show, the mm-hmm. value you made me feel like respect for my consultancy or my coaching or my professional speaking, whatever it was, you made me feel that. See, emotion is about feel. Mm-hmm. And so these four personality types that we have, thinker, relator, director, socializer. Right?
Yep.
The thinkers and the directors abuse the relators and the socializers because they're more warm and charming and gregarious and outgoing. And the directors are more controlling, condescending. They don't want to listen. And the thinkers think they know more than everybody else and they're smarter than everybody else. So this is where we have this conflict coming in here. But if we pay attention.
But that conflict is really an internal conflict.
Yes.
And we're projecting it externally.
We project our fears and misunderstandings on everyone else, and that is the reason why we cannot get on the same page and in alignment. And Doreen, you know, a really easy fix to this. This is something I used to do in my corporate trainings a lot. So I would go in and talk to all of these C-suite execs. Sometimes I would have a collective 300, 400 plus years worth of professional experience in one room. Managers that have been managers for 15 years, 17 years, 35 years. I would add it all up. And the thing that people really miss, and they just simply do not understand how to ask somebody, hey, Doreen, how do you feel about this?
Because it's taboo.
Yeah, no, don't watch this. Here's the difference. Don't tell me what you think. Tell me what you feel, right? Because if you tell me how you feel, you're going to say, well, you know what, KTR? To be honest with you, I feel like you just run over top of me, and I just feel disrespected. Like, you know, I'm not being hurt. Are you serious? Like, I don't feel that way about you. See, we're being misunderstood because we're not emotionally elevating at the same pace because we're all not at the same stage of growth. And everybody's dealing with stuff personally and professionally. And
yeah.
I guarantee if your personal life is out of whack, it's going to affect your professional life and vice versa.
Well, this is such an important reminder that trust is not a soft idea. It's a real idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a business asset. It affects communication, loyalty, culture, and the ability to lead people forward.
Mm.
And let's really understand that we're going to have to take a commercial break. But after the break, I really want to talk about what leadership pressure reveals and why hard seasons often tell me the truth about what the business owner has really built. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more insights on renewing your focus, your energy, and your path forward. This is Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. And we are back. I'm Doreen Milano, and you're watching Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. Let's continue exploring what it means to embrace change and grow with purpose.
Welcome back. We're here with Kevin T. Robertson, and this is Strategic Renewal. I'm Doreen Milano, and we're going to shift the discussion a little bit to leadership styles and how those different leadership styles communicate differently. Right?
Yes.
So, why is it important that I understand who I am as a leader?
Because just like we all have different personality types,
mm-hmm.
we all are different leaders. Sometimes you give them names like they're characters in a movie.
Right.
Like you say, like dictatorial Dick, right?
Yeah, right.
Or, you know, you say pushy Pam, you know. all of these leadership styles, it sets the navigational course for where you're going. Mm-hmm. And depends on how and what kind of leadership style you have and how you want to manage that. And we haven't talked about the word management in here, but management of your emotions and management of your leadership style and management of your communication all
come together.
It all interweaves. And it is sadly, Doreen, this is why I feel privileged that we're having this conversation, because as I'm looking at podcasts, and I look at a lot of them, I consume content like everybody else. Mm-hmm. We're not having enough of these kind of conversations. We're talking about the surface stuff, but no one's going deep into, okay, what kind of leadership style do you have? Oh, are you asking the question, does my leadership style match your communication style? Do I know what your preferred communication style? Are you more of an email person? Are you more of a face-to-face person? Are you more of a hands-on kinesthetic kind of learner? Like, learning styles is another thing. How do people learn? How do they absorb content? Are you breaking your team down? You should know everybody on your team like you know your kids. One of your kids is allergic to peanuts, the other one is not. The other kid is, they had a growth spurt over the summertime. The other kid is a little bit shorter. You've got to know everybody's nuances of their personality type.
Well, let's talk real talk. You've got people in your organization that are, just give me the facts. Give me what I need to do. Go on to the next.
Those are thinkers.
And that person, if you give them too much detail, they're going to glaze over, they're going to lose the structure of the conversation, mm-hmm. and at the end of the conversation, they're going to be totally confused as to what you really want.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Then you're going to have the person that it's all about the knowledge. It's all about the deep learning piece, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't give them that deep learning piece, they're lost. Mm-hmm. They cannot make a decision. They cannot go to the next step because they're missing data.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Then you're going to have the action person, right? Where it's, give me the flow, point me in the direction, let me go. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have the person that is all about, does everybody feel good?
Yeah.
It's all about the relationship. It's all about the community. Mm-hmm. Hey, we don't have a big enough community. It's not going deep enough. We're not actually talking about the things that are meaningful.
Right.
So if you understand that all four of those personality types exist and you're an action person, you have to slow down that action long enough mm-hmm. to recognize where everybody else is, right?
Yep.
So as a leader, number one, we have to understand who we are. Mm-hmm. Number two, we have to take the time to understand who everybody else is. What's in the way of doing that?
A lot of times the main thing that stands in the way of us having that level of understanding is ego. Yeah. And it's blown out of proportion emotions. For example, you made a very good point. When we're going in these four quadrants, thinker, relator, director, socializer, obviously the thinkers, if you're going to give them a task, they love detail. The socializers don't like all that. It's too much overload for them. You got to connect with them on a different way. The relators and the socializers, they do more caring. Mm-hmm. They, you know, when are we planning the Christmas party? What's the budget look like for the Christmas party? What do the decorations look like?
We're not there yet.
We're not there yet, right. But the thinker is, they're thinking about the details, things of that nature, and also a lot of other things when it comes to the director. They just want control. They're the control freaks in the organization. So if you have to match a personality type to a leadership style, then each one of them is gonna try to dominate the other. If you have a staff meeting, for example, you're going to see the stronger personalities emerge. They're going to try to take the meeting over. It's going to be one alpha in there that's going to try to do all the talking, do all the planning, do all the organizing, make everybody bend to the stick. obviously the socializers are going to try to outtalk everybody, and they're overly emotional, opinionative. The relators don't want any conflict. They just want to, can't we just all get along?
Which is why business meetings go on for an hour and a half.
Yes.
Versus 15 minutes.
Yes.
Which is where business meetings should be.
Get in there and get out. But you got to have a clear agenda.
Absolutely.
And you got to understand everybody that's in the room. So I'm glad that we're having a conversation about leadership styles and why leadership gets out of control and why it's so fractured. It's because of ego and lack of self-discipline and emotional control. And you're asking a lot for a person to have some self-discipline. Think about it. Self-discipline is tied into our vices. Sometimes people talk too much. Sometimes we're too abusive. Sometimes we create too much friction. Sometimes we're too condescending. Now, if you're not aware of all of your characteristics, and there are literally, I'm talking dozens of characteristics
Absolutely.
Within each of the personality types. So number one, if you don't understand who you are, if you don't understand the other person in the integration of communication, connectivity, human capital, and all the other stuff we're talking about, then you're just basically just easing through without really understanding how you fit into the team and what your role and responsibility is. And that makes you a very dangerous leader.
Absolutely. So when we step up and we recognize that we have these deficits,
mm-hmm. Good word.
Understanding is a deficit, right?
Yes.
Where do I go to fix that?
Okay, another great question. So I was waiting for you to ask me something like this so I could role play with you. So,
cool.
Yeah. So now, this is something that all leaders should consider. So if I know that you have a more reserved personality type, mm-hmm. and Doreen, you are in those four personality types, you actually move in and out of all four?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Your strengths, your main driver is the relator. You're very warm and engaging, but you also are a thinker. You're super smart. I could just see the wheels spinning around in your head. When I listen to your voice over the phone, I'm like, your approach to the way you explain yourself in business is very meticulous and detailed and organized and exacting and thorough, right? So mm-hmm. I know, but you have such a charming and warm, inviting side of your personality, and you don't come off like the asshole when you're trying to give information.
But I can.
You can, but you understand that management part that I'm talking about is mm-hmm. that when the other person's speaking, Doreen, is you're a better listener than you are talker.
Yes.
And those are the things that you should pay attention to. So now let's role play. So if I was saying to you, you know, Doreen, I feel like in the staff meeting that lately your performance has been off and you're not doing da 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 da.
Well, tell me more about that.
Exactly. So, but most people, I'm glad you said that. Most people would get defensive. They would be like, are you serious? My performance has been on point. I've done X, Y, and Z for the company.
That's my ego answering if I say that.
That's my ego. And right. So they don't agree with your assessment of their performance because maybe you don't understand them. So if you say to me, no, you're off. That is not how I feel. Okay. Then you know what? Help me understand how I came to this conclusion.
Tell me more about that.
Tell me more about that. And what I always say is communication equals negotiation. Every time you're communicating with someone, you are negotiating a better position to have success or failure. So the better you are at asking Doreen how she feels, not thinks.
It's about how I feel.
Is how do you feel? This is the reason why I've been married for 28 years, because I always ask my wife, baby, how do you feel about that?
Okay, well, one of the things that we get to talk about here mm-hmm. is that when we communicate, I'm talking about really communicate,
mm-hmm.
we're teaching the other person how to treat us.
Yes.
And if we're not truly communicating, that other individual never understands how to treat us. And then we get resentful because we chose not to communicate.
All misunderstandings. Resentment
yes.
is I'm building up some type of attitude towards you because I think that you feel a certain way about me. And typically it's not true because we just haven't had the conversation. Mm-hmm. So if you have a conversation, try it. Anybody out there, just try it. Most supervisors bully and are abusive to their subordinates. So just try it. Just say, hey, you know, I feel like you think this way about me and that this is how you treat me. And they're gonna be in denial. They're gonna, I got work to do. It. Are you coming in my office with this? I don't feel that way about you. You're wrong. Okay, then help me understand why I feel this way. And just negotiate with them. Bring it to their attention first. And then what you will see is the emotions start to calm down.
Well, if we change our process, we can do that. So the process, from my perspective, would be more around, you know, what I really like that you did is XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to see less of is ZYX.
Yes.
Oh, well, now I've got some constructive criticism that I can actually change the behavior.
Yes. 70-30. 70% should be constructive criticism, accountability, responsibility, ownership.
But you got to make it a sandwich.
Yes. And 30% needs to be like some tough love. You can't have it the other way around, mm-hmm. which most managers and supervisors do. And that's the reason why we have a horrible workforce culture. And it's easily changed, Doreen, with having a simple conversation. All you have to do is just sit down with somebody and ask them how they feel. And that is, they're going to tell you, they're going to share. If you put them in an environment where it's non-judgmental.
What do you love about
safe.
Your job?
Yes, that's a great question.
What do you love about your job?
Yep.
What would you like to see differently about your job?
Yes.
How can we improve the environment that you work in?
Yep. All three of those questions, by the way, that you're asking me, makes me feel involved in a decision about my future. And that's how you get buy-in and engagement.
That's right. Most business owners are not asking those three questions.
Right.
Those three questions are too dangerous. They don't trust that the answer is going to be helpful.
Yep. They're afraid to know. They really don't want to know.
They don't want to know. But knowing does what?
Knowing empowers you with knowledge and resources and the right type of emotional intelligence that you need in order to have a positive impact on that relationship. That's what it does.
Now, if you do that with the majority of your employees, what does that do for the company?
Oh my God. Well, first of all, let's talk about something that really struck me in one of our earlier conversations.
Mm-hmm.
If you focus on the revenue, you're not gonna make much revenue.
No.
All of the other stuff we're talking about is a byproduct of the revenue itself.
Yes.
So what is it going to do for your organization? My God, if you got people walking around and your morale is down around 25%, and we can at least get that to 50 to 75, people come in. We want to come in to work now. We want to go into that Zoom meeting. Whether or not you got your underwear on and the top part looks good and the bottom, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They want to come. They want to participate. They're engaged. They're more interactive. They're more productive.
And that is all about company culture.
And that's about company culture. And the leadership has a direct impact on
company
that company
culture.
Absolutely. If we have more people that understood that, if they would make an attempt to elevate emotionally, not out of control. See, when I say emotional elevation, I'm talking about if your morale is down here and we can get it up here, that's an elevation. If your ego is not out of control, if you don't feel like you have to be right all the time, if you're not over-talking people, if you control the tonality and pitch of your voice, I'm talking the pitch, the resonance, the rate, the accuracy, the height, the cadence. If you know how to control all of that, I'm talking about you will be an effective communicator. Remember, you don't have to be good or bad at it. It needs to be effective.
Which means?
You're getting your point across. You're being heard. That's it.
So one of the things I tell a lot of my clients is when you have a meeting, and I don't care if it's a meeting with a client or if it's a meeting with an employee, leave the ego outside the door. Because as long as the ego's in place, you're not going to learn a thing. The communication is going to go right over your head, bounce off the ego, and come back at you totally distorted.
Yeah.
So if you leave your ego outside the door, you have a much better chance of having a clear communication.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So with that being said, we are really looking at how leadership and communication work together to build a sustainable, strategic business. And when we stop looking at how those things come together and bond together, we have left a hole in our business. So we are going to step away for a moment. We're going to go to commercial break, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more insights on renewing your focus, your energy, and your path forward. This is Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. And we are back. I'm Doreen Milano, and you're watching Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. Let's continue exploring what it means to embrace change and grow with purpose.
Welcome back. This is Strategic Renewal. I'm Doreen Milano, and I have a special guest with me today, Kevin T. Robertson. And I want to close with something that every business owner struggles with. And what I'm talking about that is fragmented leadership. And when we're talking about fragmented leadership, at the core of that fragmentation is really a lack of clarity and a lack of focus. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And I really want my listeners to understand that clarity is at the core of a lot of the issues that we face in business. So, Kevin, your first book was about clarity and focus, right?
Yes. Yeah. 1998.
Those issues haven't changed,
yes,
have they?
Yes, they haven't.
In fact, we've got more reasons to have a lack of clarity and a lack of focus as we have progressed to 2026.
Yeah.
With the advent of AI, which can really fragment our clarity and focus.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So, do we need to know that we're fragmented, or do we already know?
Well, a lot of us, we do not know. So a lot of people say, did you get the memo? And a lot of people, yeah, I got the memo, but did you read it? You see, there's a difference between, that's why they call it knowledge and understanding. You know, you got the knowledge, but do you understand it? You got the memo, but did you read it? A lot of people, they walk through this life, Doreen, and they don't even know what their purpose is. You ask the average 50 to 75 year old person, what was your purpose? They cannot tell you.
Well, I can tell you.
I know you can. We're not talking about you.
I'm an average business owner.
No, you have been an overachiever in a lot of categories I'm talking about your average person just simply does not understand what the purpose is. So if you don't understand the purpose, that means you don't understand your assignment in your vision and mission along your journey. This is what this is about. Life is a journey. We are on a quest for a greater vision and a mission, and we're supposed to understand our purpose. So every day you wake up, you are attacking your goals instead of your goals attacking you. But your average person, they're very fragmented with their focus, with their decision-making. They're not swift decision-makers because they got their hand in 20 different things at one time. Your average person can accomplish 7 to 10 things throughout the body of one workday. 7 to 10. The elite leaders in this world, like Jeff Bezos and you talk about Steve Jobs, they killed the Kevin O'Leary talks about this on Shark Tank, talk about killing the white noise. They make 3 to 5 decisions every single day. They don't make any decisions after 2 p.m. I operate the same exact way. Mm-hmm. My schedule is very high impact. It's only open for a certain amount of hours. Mm-hmm. Pre-client schedule and post-client schedule, it's all about me and alignment and finding balance and peace and getting rest and all that kind of stuff. So most people are just so spent and all over the place, they lack the clarity because they're too busy chasing 20 things at one time that they think is going to get them there. Real focus is concentrated on one thing at a time. Move to the next thing.
Yes.
And the next, and the next. And what I learned in closing that point, you must give things your undivided attention. There's a lot going on in the world right now. We have a beautiful backdrop of Dallas-Fort Worth and this beautiful Metroplex area that we're in.
Yeah.
But I'm focusing on you and you're focusing on me. I don't care what's happening right now.
No.
If you just give every one of your tasks with those 3 to 5 things and you delegate properly, because it's impossible to do it all yourself. Your business is still running while we're sitting there doing the interview, and so is mine.
Right.
My team is solving some tech issues right now. I'm not worried about what they're doing. I was freaking out about it prior to the interview, but they're on it right now. So focus on one thing at a time and clarify the vision and the mission. And then the only way to do that, Doreen, is to sit in peace. That's how you get the answers to the questions to attack your goals.
Well, I also think that you have to really understand who you are as a human being. You know, we all have different cycles that we work on. I'm a morning person, right? So I got up 5 o'clock this morning, high energy, doing the thing I gotta do. At 7:30, I'm in a networking meeting. At 10 o'clock, I'm here doing TV shows.
Yep.
Tuesdays, I'm working with my clients. Mondays, I'm prospecting. Thursdays, I'm prospecting. Friday, I am focused on more family things. So understanding who I am as a human being and making sure my schedule is reflecting that energy and how I use that energy.
And if things are not in alignment with your schedule, then you have a successful person must possess the ability to say no.
No.
If it's not in alignment with my schedule, so therefore everybody that's doing too much, you've got to protect and guard your block time. Block time. When you block it out for this interview, obviously we can't be distracted by doing it. This takes all your brain power to be engaged in the conversation.
Absolutely.
So it's organic, so it's flowing the way. We're in a flow state right
now.
I'm
not going to care about what's on my computer or who's calling me or anything else. That is outside of the scope of what I'm doing right now.
Exactly. Now, I'm glad you brought that point up, and I need to get this in before we end the interview. We are suffering from device addiction, which is a major distraction.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of white noise. People are chasing all kinds of rabbits on the internet right now, and they're not really focused. I would tell any business owner, any business professional, pick something that is going to make you feel full. That is fulfillment. Doing this interview, I had to catch my breath like 20 times, like, because it just makes me feel full. It's something I love to do. I love engaging in conversations to serve the greater good of humanity, and you're a vessel. And I not only do I respect you as a business professional, but I respect you as a woman, because more women need to see women like you crushing it to empower them with the confidence
Absolutely.
That they can do it as well. That's what we do. When you understand what your vision and mission is, when you are a real leader, it's a responsibility that comes along with that. And you do an amazing job at presenting yourself.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So the number one rule, if you're going to have a business meeting, and you're going to do it in 15 minutes, nobody brings a cell phone into the business meeting.
And have a clear agenda.
You have to have a clear agenda. You need to know exactly who's going to be responsible for what, and they've been told ahead of time that that is what their contribution to the meeting is going to
yes.
be. And if you are not making those clear choices with clear communication, your meetings are going a heck of a lot longer than 15 minutes.
And no grandstanding in the meeting.
No.
No ego.
No. Ego's out the door. You don't walk in and take a seat with your ego with you.
Yes.
You've got to be open and blank and ready to receive and ready to give.
Yeah. And the universe will give you the answer. You will get an alignment if you sit in peace. This is the reason why I end my day in my massage chair, because I can gain clarity. I can get focused. I'm relaxed. And I may not have the answer to it, but when I wake up from that nap, or when I wake up the next day, See, our subconscious mind, it never shuts down. It's processing your goals while you're sleeping. So I don't go to sleep with gangster movies like I used to. I go to sleep with a certain vibrational frequency that's happening in my ear, and I just feel at peace. And when I wake up in the morning, my subconscious mind has processed my goals overnight. So when I wake up at 5 a.m., I'm ready to go, just like you are.
So Kevin, the golden nugget for emotional intelligence, what is the number one thing that you want our listeners to really focus on?
The number one thing to increase your emotional intelligence is first understanding what makes you fulfilled. Happiness and joy are fleeting. There's just a quick dopamine rush. Don't go for that. Start getting in alignment with who you are. Get in a flow state. You can't do it 24 hours, but no. If the majority of your day feels like you're moving, you are moving your goals forward, you feel great about yourself. Protect your social and emotional intelligence is all about mental health and wellness. You have to make that priority number one, because if you feel good up here, your brain dictates everything else throughout your body and the energy that you have in your life that you put out to other people.
Absolutely.
You're going to get that energy back. And those things increase your emotional intelligence. And I wish that and hope that everybody is able to locate that in their life, attract that. You either have a very strong attractive force or you got a strong repellent force. Choose which one you want.
Just like a calendar, you have to really defend what is going on, because your time is your number one fleeting asset.
Yep.
And your time is that thing that will allow you to do what Kevin is asking you to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're not defending it, you are wasting it.
Yeah, defend it with your life and act like your life depends on it, because it does.
It does.
Absolutely.
So what I want to say is, what I'm taking away from this conversation is, strategic renewal does not begin when I finally have time. It begins when I decide to lead with more awareness, self as well as with others, and more focus and more clarity. And emotional intelligence gives us the ability to do all three.
Absolutely.
See you next time. Have a blessed day. See you soon.
Thanks for the conversation, Doreen.
Thank you so much, Kevin. It's
Absolutely.
Been great.